This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
We only have 1 hour left on Friday Junior, a.k.a. Thursday. And I have so many things I haven't gotten to yet. The NPR emoji scandal, which we're going to break down. We're still going to be talking about the economy, inflation. Dr. Jill had a very disappointing realization over the last...
She saved Broadway!
You know, it doesn't have to be every time. It really doesn't, Jared. Once a show, I think you're good.
Well, we need to start putting a better drop.
We need to start giving you limits on these drops, okay?
Rationing.
Yes. All that stuff. And we are going to get to it. But what I want to start with is Al Sharpton. Because when Al Sharpton says something, it's usually worth playing, and this is no exception. But let's go back to the beginning. Let's start from the beginning of this story. Al Sharpton was on Morning Joe to talk about the steak guy. If you're not familiar with the steak guy, this is a man, if I'm even allowed to say that, this is a birthing person, I don't know, this is a homo sapien, who went into Trader Joe's and stole, and really I think the word stole at this point is a little bit of a stretch, because now we're just walking in and taking things. You know, stealing used to imply you had to be a little sneaky.
Yeah, there was no subterfuge here. He walked in. No. He grabbed about 10 packages of steak.
These criminals like do a post-theft interview after when they're outside. Like, yeah, it was, you know, it was pretty good. The it was, you know, getting out at the end there was a little tricky, but we managed it pretty well.
Hey, man, I gave the basket back. Why are you hassling me?
The person did, from Trader Joe's, did ask for the basket back. We have this sound. You know what? I'm sorry. I have to start over. If we're going to talk about steak, and the stakes are high, and this is the United States of America, damn it, we should start with a person named Carol Adams from Oxford Union Vegans, or as Howie Carr, my boss, would say, vegans, talking about meat. I think that's the perfect way. This is the nucleus, and then we will branch out from there. Carol Adams... You know, and there's a lot of talk about meat right now because the prices are so high. But if you're a vegan, if you eat a plant-centered life like Eric Adams, you might not have to worry about that. Carol Adams, I'm not sure if she has any relation to Eric Adams, but they both seem to be very big fans of the plants. This is Cut 18.
The assumption that the best protein comes from corpses is a racist belief. How do you know the animal would have picked you to feed off their corpse? 21st century animal eating requires our complicity in a new colonialism. These events especially affect girls and young women. Your hamburger comes with a dose of misogyny. Popular culture is flooded with references to sexy cows, sexy pigs, sexy chickens, sexy fishes, who all just want to have fun. Meat eating is also one of the ways gender-based structures of oppression are perpetuated. Masculinity, a construct of the gender binary facing constant destabilization, feels always under threat, and eating animals is its protection racket. White supremacists weaponized it, eating meat, eggs, and dairy, and the baiting of liberal men as so-called soy boys are all part of the neo-Nazi messaging. To say you care about animals is considered a sign of weakness in a world still committed to the gender binary. Meat eaters, like anti-abortionists, have forgotten that one quality of non-existence is not having awareness about existence. When all else
hold
fails...
Hold on, okay, hold on. First of all, if I had to choose between woke or joke, I'm going to say joke, right? That has to be a joke.
Nope.
it's misogynistic now to enjoy steak.
It's it was the buzzword of everything. It was misogynistic. It was white supremacist. It was Nazism if you eat meat.
Wow. That.
Not to mention.
Sexy cows, sexy chickens.
Yeah. You know what?
I apologize. I left out sexy fish. I don't mean to offend the pescatarians.
Is that going
to
be a new drop now? Are we going to be hearing that every single day?
Of course we're going to hear about the sexy chicken.
This is just, these are the things I hear in my mind all the time because of this show. I hear O.J. Simpson and crap
sexy
like this.
Chickens.
What is that? Sexy cows, sexy pigs. I've never heard talk of sexy pigs or sexy cows. Have you?
I have not, but.
You looked like for a second there you were going to say yes. Right. This is not something that I should be hip to, right?
No, I don't believe this is something that actually exists.
Okay. Well, I stand by having to start with that because I think it takes us to the core, the meat of this issue. Now we will go to Steak Guy from Trader Joe's. Was this his post-theft interview? Like, when did
So what happened is somebody had their cell phone out. We got this from the New York Post. Somebody had their cell phone out. And they were taking video of the guy on their phone, and they followed him, and they tried to talk to him. And the guy, I mean, he was unapologetic. He's like, yo, I'm homeless. I'm taking food.
I mean, once you're taking 10 steaks, I would assume that your remorse is gone. Usually, if you were remorseful, you'd cut it at like 5. Okay, let's hear from the guy chased after stealing steak from a Trader Joe's in New York.
Did you pay for any of that?
Yep.
You did?
Yep.
You got a receipt?
Yep.
How come they were chasing you then?
They wanted the basket.
What?
They wanted the basket.
Oh, they wanted the basket.
Yep.
Okay. Those two guys were chasing you from the store. They said you didn't pay for any of it. Why are you stealing it?
Because I'm homeless.
What?
Because I'm homeless.
For the homeless? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it?
Eat.
You're going to eat?
I hope he's going to share, because there's no way he's getting through those 10 steaks before one of them goes bad. Share the wealth.
He goes for our fancy hams. They're expensive, and they'll build up a score real fast. You have a shopping list item? No, go for the hams. Go for the turkeys. And that's just what Marty wanted. What's his next choice? Taster's Choice Instant Coffee.
Those shows used to stress me out when people would run through the stores and have to grab things. I don't know why I would get such anxiety being like, no, don't go down that row. Go down a different row. You need to get more stuff.
Don't grab the coffee. It takes too long.
Yeah. But Al Sharpton saw this, and it made him think of something else that's been bothering him. So let's play Al Sharpton. He's on Morning Joe. He's reporting on it sounded like he was on a skateboard. Was he on a skateboard?
No, he wasn't on a skateboard. There was traffic going by.
Oh, okay.
He actually picked up a city sanitation trash bag full of trash, put his raw stolen meat in there and grabbed it. And the sanitation guy was chasing me. He's like, yo, bring my bag back. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, boy. Okay, well, this is Al Sharpton's take, cut 24.
It is true that people are just walking in and walking out with it.
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you go to a local pharmacy, Duane Reade or Rite Aid, any of them, and you've got to get someone to help assist you. I mean, they have the little button there.
Yep.
You hit the buzzer, and the guy comes over and unlocks your toothpaste.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about basic stuff.
That's what I said.
He's like,
he's said. He as well.
What did I miss that we now have to lock up toothpaste?
Yeah, I agree with the Reverend, and I'll tell you why. I get a lot of things at CVS that are on the pricier side. Humble brag. But fake eyelashes, they cost a pretty penny. And those have been locked up for quite some time in a few different places. So I agree with Reverend L. And toothpaste is not something that I at least I remember being locked up. And he also said this, cut 25.
You cannot have a culture where people are just at random, just robbing and stealing and is out of control and is put on the front page of newspapers, which only encourages others to do it. In fairness to Eric, he's only been mayor 5 weeks. But even as I'm fair to him, Eric, they're locking up my toothpaste.
Good for Reverend L. I don't think I've ever agreed with him as much as I do right now. But his words did not go unnoticed. He actually offended a lot of people by saying that, including Nicole Hannah-Jones, who a lot of people know. She was the author of 1619.
Yes, Pulitzer Prize winning author.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Jared. And also she was going to be a professor at Howie's alma mater, and then they ended up scrapping it, or she ended up declining, because at first they didn't give her tenure. Then when they offered to give her tenure, she said, it's too late. You didn't offer it to me in the first place. Just to recap. Well, she is offended by what Al Sharpton said about the toothpaste. She said, this drumbeat for continued mass incarceration is really horrific to watch. A person stealing steak is not national news, and there have always been thefts from stores. This is how you legitimize the carceral state. Now,
I will have the gabagool.
So I guess what she's saying is, don't pay any attention to the man stealing 10 steaks from Trader Joe's. Nicole Hannah-Jones thinks, and by the way, this drumbeat for continued mass incarceration, someone acknowledging that they're locking up toothpaste and that a guy's getting away with stealing 10 steaks from a Trader Joe's is a drumbeat for continued mass incarceration.
Well, I think it's the just Reverend Al, so it can't be a dog whistle, so it has to be something else.
I think it's just acknowledging reality. It's just saying what's happening right now. And by the way, another story I saw, and I guess Tucker Carlson was talking about this the other day, San Francisco, another wonderful place to be, San Francisco's soft-on-crime policies, if Jen Psaki were here, she would say, what is that supposed to mean? San Francisco's soft-on-crime policies and assistance make it easy to be homeless, says homeless man. James, a self-proclaimed junkie living in San Francisco, says the city's soft-on-crime policies and government assistance make it easy to be homeless. He shared how he receives $620 cash and 200 food stamps each month while he sells Narcan to addicts and enjoys streaming services on his phone. This is a quote from James. Oh, we have a cut? Let's play it.
Where are you from?
Louisiana, Texas area.
How long have you been in San Francisco?
Since June, if you're going to be homeless, it's pretty easy here. I mean, if we're going to be realistic, they pay you to be homeless here.
When you said that San Francisco pays people to be homeless, what did you mean by that? You mean that literally?
Yeah. I mean, I get $620 a month, dude.
From general assistance?
Yeah.
Or how was that hard to get?
Phone call, bro. Phone call. 200 food stamps and $620 cash a month.
Wow.
Forget about it. Why wouldn't I do it? You know, it's free money, dude. This right now is literally by choice. Literally by choice. Like, why would I want to pay rent? I'm not doing it.
If we're going to be realistic, they pay you to be homeless here. No, we can't be realistic. Because according to Nicole Hannah-Jones, that is not woke, not cool. You will be canceled, homeless man. So don't even try. Don't even go there, James.
Yeah, that was from the Daily Mail. And by the way, you should go there and check out. It was a long interview. Check it out. It is bonkers. He talks about seeing people die, fentanyl, teaching 16-year-olds how to use Narcan because, it's...
And you have to give props to the Daily Mail. They always have tons of pictures. The pictures from San Francisco right now in the Daily Mail are terrifying.
It is nuts.
Very nuts. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we are going to maybe play some sound from Jill Biden if Jared promises he will not play the Si Se Pueda drop. Do you promise?
I promise.
I don't believe you. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
David Ruprecht saying goodbye from Supermarket Sweep. Now remember, the next time you're at a checkout counter and you hear that beep, just think of the fun you could have on Supermarket Sweep!
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsbee Inn in beautiful North Sutton, New Hampshire. It's my favorite weekend retreat, no matter the season. That's Follansbee, the Follinsbee Inn. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which price hike bums you out the most? Beef, alcohol, or chicken?
I'm going to say beef.
Beef in the lead at 62%, 19% each for alcohol and chicken.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a big chicken girl. Never have been. I don't know what it is. Doesn't do anything for me.
I like the versatility of chicken. You can do a lot with it.
That is true.
But beef, gotta go beef.
Don't tell that woman we just played. Yes, she'll be mad at both of us.
My neo-Nazi misogyny premisism.
The misogyny in this show is just out of control.
Meat conglomerates.
Tom, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Grace, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, thank you. Hey, I used to live out, speaking of homeless, I used to live out in the Portland, Oregon, Vancouver area going back 20 years ago. At that time, there were essentially people south of the border that were camped out along the Columbia River. And they had several articles in the Oregonian, that's the local paper in Portland, about Mexican migrants essentially camped out that couldn't afford rents or whatever because they just got into the country undocumented, illegal, whatever, however you want to put it. They used to tell them that you can't do this because, one, going to the bathroom next to the Columbia River is not healthy for the quality of the river, as well as the campfires, as well as the trash. Wind the clock forward to 2020, 2021. There's a road called that parallels the Columbia River in Portland called Marine Drive. I have a friend who's a union pipe fitter that I still talk with out there, good friend of mine. He said there's literally at least 1,000 tents, combination of campers and what have you, of homeless people living on Marine Drive in Portland, Oregon. Your audience can Google that. And so the same thing is happening. People are going by the Columbia River, going to the bathroom there. There's trash all over it. So how do we go from that essentially in a generation where we enforce those laws to where we now don't do them? And it's not just Portland, Oregon. It's happening all throughout this country. And to me, the common denominator is it's progressives that are running these big cities. And these progressives are supposed to be the compassionate people.
Right.
Okay, well, at some point, you know, it's like if you have a child, you can't let your child just constantly go into the pantry and eat cookies all day long and grape soda. I mean, at some point, you have to say to your child, no, you get your Oreos after you've eaten all your vegetables, and you get one glass of soda. And unfortunately, what we're seeing in this country now is just a total, lack of enforcing laws that used to make common sense.
Yeah, and I think that what you hit the nail on the head on there with, Tom, is this compassion argument. Because even if you look at our immigration laws, I mean, what Trump did was seen as, you know, villainous when he was enforcing our borders, but it was actually a lot more compassionate because you had a lot less of this human trafficking, a lot less of these coyotes smuggling in children. So sometimes what seems compassionate to liberals in their slogans and in their talking points doesn't actually create compassionate situations. All right, we'll be right back with more.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. That last caller was just talking about how there's one common theme with this homelessness crisis that we're seeing in America, and that would be that Democrats are running a lot of these cities that are struggling with this problem. And it's a very serious and sad problem. If you've ever driven past a street like that man described, he was describing one, I think he said, was it Portland? It can be very depressing to see that every single day, and it breaks your heart. And here's just another side note here. We're talking about blue states and some of the results of the policies of blue states. This is a little bit different, but I did find it interesting. So there's all this talk about unemployment rates in the Joe Biden administration, what's happening with the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And a new study showed that there is a real correlation between states with the most strict COVID mandates also have the highest unemployment rates. And here's what I found fascinating. It doesn't, the model that they show you doesn't really show that there's a link between private businesses mandating vaccines and unemployment, but mandating masks may have significantly impacted a state's unemployment rate. And they give an example here. So the percent of businesses with masks. So I'm going to read you, for example, California. The percent of businesses with mask mandates in California is 75%. Their unemployment rate is 6.5%. Nevada, the percent of businesses with mask mandates is 77.4%. Unemployment rate, 6.4%. New Jersey, 68.8% percent of businesses with mask mandates, and their unemployment rate, 6.3%. So even though people would get the jab, it seems, and then go to work, people didn't like to work in companies where they'd have to wear a mask all day, which does make sense to me.
Yeah, especially if you're vaccinated. What's the point of wearing the mask? If the vaccination works, you shouldn't have to wear the mask. That's, you're asking people to jump through more and more hoops that just don't make sense.
And yet the White House is still claiming that this is a popular thing. Did you see today, I think it was Michelle Wu who tweeted out a picture of a classroom she was in, and she said, I asked the class how many people would still want to wear masks, and everyone had their hands up except for one girl in the corner. One girl had her hand down. And the White House is pushing this idea that a lot of people still want to go along with this. Let's play Jen Psaki yesterday. This is cut 14.
We understand where the emotions of the country are, right? People are tired of masks. I would say not even if you look at the polling, though, there is also a huge chunk of people who still want masks, right? So it's not even that specific. It's just that, as you noted, there are some states that are moving towards rolling back or giving more choice to local communities about how they will implement these requirements. But again, from the federal government, what our responsibility to do is to abide by what the president committed to on the campaign, which is to listen to scientists, listen to data. That doesn't move at the speed of politics, it moves at the speed of data. And they, Dr. Walensky, committed to convey.
In other words, we got to wait a couple days until we back down, because otherwise we'll look too obvious that we're following the polling and not the science. Very interesting that she says people still want to wear masks. I haven't run across, and I like to think I have some left-leaning friends, some more towards the center friends. I haven't run across anyone who wants to keep the masks.
I've probably come across a few, but the community message boards on Facebook and things like that are rife with people who, I just saw one today in my neighborhood. They want to have the kids segregated in schools based on the ones that want to wear masks and the ones that don't. What?
Unity!
What kind of world is this?
It's a sad, sad world.
That's the point where, all right, it's on you to pull your kids out of school at that point. If you don't want them participating in an environment where you can see somebody's face, time to look into homeschooling.
Well, I even thought, Taylor, I said this last week to some friends of mine. I said, if you have children in a school where they're still forcing them to wear masks and you haven't, at the very least, picked up the phone and made a call to somebody, to the principal, to someone on the school board, if you haven't done that, then you are failing your child. I will say that. I don't care. I think that's a failure as a parent not to advocate for your kid in even the slightest bit.
If Harrison was school age at this point in time, I'd be asking for Thursday evenings off so I can attend school committee meetings and raise hell.
I know some people who don't even have kids, and they go to the school board committee meetings just to keep an eye on what's going on with the younger generation. And my hat's off to those people. Phil, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Grace.
Of course.
So, you know, the homeless situation is sad. There are people out there that can't help it. And they, you know, we've got veterans out there that are on the streets that deserve way better than what this country's given them. But when you look at these people and especially in these blue states, they are basically, and they've transitioned to brainwashing or conditioning these people to accept the meager crumbs that they give as a government, as, you know, as a city or whatever, as long as these people will accept the crumbs that they give them, these ultra elite, rich people pass down, accept it and be happy with what you have. The lesson that we used to teach at home in family dynamic was that you were proud, that you worked for your money, you worked for what you earned, and you were you contributed to society.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And not to sound like Joe Biden here, but dignity. You know, he used to talk about that a lot, dignity. And it's true. There's dignity in work and there's dignity in contributing to society. And every time you mention crumbs, my immediate thought goes to Nancy Pelosi. She's the queen of the crumbs. And the place that she represents, San Francisco, is a perfect example of all of this. You know, they're all these politicians from California, they're going to stop global warming. They're going to go after the big four, the meat conglomerates. They're going to do all of these things. And yet there's poop all over the streets and there's needles everywhere. So maybe we clean up our own backyard before we start tackling global issues. Just a thought. Now, I do want to move on here to one other thing before we get to some of this Joe Biden sound. Did you see that the Oscars, and I'm just going to take a gamble here and say my audience doesn't really keep up with the Oscars. The nominations came out. I didn't know any of the movies. I've seen maybe one or two of them. I don't think I saw one of them. And most of the titles, and it's not like I'm Howie, you know, I know every year Howie comes on here and says he is not going to watch the Oscars and doesn't see any of the movies. I do tend to watch some of this stuff, but you know what it seemed like to me, Taylor? It seems like they nominated every single thing that was out there this year because there were such slim pickings with like movies that actually went to the theaters that everything got a nomination except for House of Gucci that got the snub.
And the Spider-Man movie.
The Spider-Man movie got the snub. But they're not requiring attendees to the Oscars to show their vaccine passports, which is just peak hypocrisy because they know the people in Hollywood know that I'm sure there's a lot of celebrities that are not vaccinated, but they don't want anyone to know that because that would feed into the wrong narrative. So instead, they're going to say, oh, you're not required to be vaccinated, and therefore we won't have to know if any celebrities have decided not to get the vaccine. It's just so typical of Hollywood. I'm sure all the workers there will have to be vaccinated.
And double
just
masked.
Not the celebrity. Yeah, right. Double mask. I mean, this whole idea, it's what they've really created beyond just this awful, you know, angst and anxiety in children and all of this other stuff is they've created like this two-tier system. You see Barack Obama standing there, you know, trying to figure out what his multi-million dollar Hawaiian home is going to look like. And he's with all these contractors and he doesn't have a mask on. They all have masks on.
I feel, you know, how do I exactly put this? That's a tough spot to be in. I mean, if it's somebody working on your own house or something, yeah, tell them to take the mask off. But if I go to a restaurant and the waiters are wearing masks, I'm still going to eat there. Maybe I shouldn't, but
I see your point, but I think all it does for people is when you see that image, you just think none of this makes any sense.
Well, no, it doesn't make any sense, and it's not a good look, but it's... If I'm a guest somewhere and that employer is telling their employees to wear a mask, my response should be, all right, tell your manager or tell your owner that they're not getting my business until you're unmasked. But I don't know.
No, it's hard. I totally get it. I went to a coffee shop today. They wanted me to put a mask on. They just handed me one. I put it on because at that point, I really wanted this coffee I was getting. So again, we all have our points where we break down. But my only thing is with this Oscars thing, it would be kind of nice to know that some celebrities aren't going along with the mandates, but we'll never know that because the Oscars doesn't want you to know that. Sue, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, hi, Grace. First of all, I want to find out how that homeless guy is going to cook those steaks, but that's not what I called about.
That's a common question. We got a lot of that question on the text line as well.
I went to an event yesterday with the parents who are sticking up for their kids, all right? And the stories I heard about what's happening to these children, it is child abuse. Because what happens is if the parent does stand up for their kid and their kid is brave enough to go in without a mask, they get stuck in a room by themselves. And also, the other point I did want to make about the whatever, the kids raising their hands, it takes a lot of courage not to raise your hand to that question.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It reminds me of when I had a VIP in here once. She was Howie's VIP, and she told me that they did a poll in class about who was voting for Joe Biden, and her kid was the only kid in class who didn't raise his hand. That kind of courage, I mean, people do still have it. It's really amazing. It's especially incredible when you think about the youth, because we were getting brainwashed when we were in school, Taylor, but it was to such a lesser extent than it is now. I mean, I had a lot of teachers in school. I didn't know where they stood politically. I don't think you could be in a classroom now and not know one way or the other where your teacher stands politically. I'm sure there's still some really good teachers out there, but it wasn't as politicized as it is now. All right, quickly here before we go, I would be remiss if I didn't play a little bit of Joe Biden. And I think the cut that I want to start with here, Taylor, because I'm not sure if this is real or if this is a joke. Woker Joe continued. Did he say prescription drugs again today?
With discounts on prescription drugs, it's actually enforced.
That's been, what is that, two times now or three?
That's the third time.
The third.
Prescription drugs.
Prescription drugs.
Three times he said prescription drugs. Third time.
Prescription drugs.
Oof. Can I also play another word that he manages to bungle quite a bit, cut 14.
In order to finish and build whatever you're working on, the price goes up exponentially, like for cars.
And he messed up someone's name. This was really a classic Joe Biden speech. Exponentially, prescription drugs. He messes up someone's name who's right next to him. Cut 3.
Look, healthcare is part of Abigail, Congresswoman, your Congresswoman's background.
Her name is Abigail Congresswoman.
Not to be confused with Walsh Marty. Get it right. You know, it's kind of, I've talked about this with Taylor before. Sometimes you'll run into someone, you don't know their name. And it really is an art form to try to play off like you know their name.
It helps if you have somebody with you. So you can, this is my wife.
You know, that's what I always do. You know William. You've met Will, right? And then the person goes, oh, no, I haven't. Hi, I'm John. Boom, exactly. Done. And I'm like, John, there we go. Knew it. But he is the opposite. He's like, he goes so far. He goes way too far, and then he can't back it up.
What's scarier, though, is that he said her name correctly twice before that. Oh. And then forgot her name.
What time was this at? This is afternoon?
This was around, 1 o'clock.
Okay, so it's getting close to nighttime for him. It's getting close to bedtime. Is there any other ones we should play? There's a lot of cuts here. He also, this is another reason. It's a classic Joe Biden speech. He called someone who's not the president, the president. Cut 1.
Thank you, Mr. President.
That was to a 12-year-old boy. So at this point, he has called Dr. Fauci the president, Kamala Harris the president, a 12-year-old boy the president. Has he called Dr. Jill the president?
He calls her the boss.
Okay. That's kind of insulting. He's never called her the president. Jeez, it's his wife. You think if everyone else is getting the title...
And, of course, he also had to bring up his grandfather, Ambrose Finnegan.
Every time I'd walk out of my grandpa's house up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, his name was Ambrose Finnegan. He was an All-American football player out in Santa Clara when he was a kid.
That's All-American football player. Is that true? Can we get a fact check?
I'll have to fact check that during the break.
If that's true, that's the coolest brag he's ever come out with, because all of his other brags are like, I ride the train a lot. So he should be using that one more. March 16th is looming around the corner, and I say looming because this is when the Federal Reserve will gather for their key March meeting, and there could be a devastating announcement on its way. Founder of Manward Press, industry watchdog, and expert investor Andy Snyder is predicting a big announcement following the scheduled Fed meeting on March 16th. It could change America forever and have many Americans unloading their investments and running to the bank. With just one move, the most popular asset in America could suddenly be on its way to being illegal. Right now is the time to prepare. Get Andy Snyder's shockproof wealth kit and the simple three-step plan you need to put in place now to help protect your family and your wealth. Learn more at historicwealthevent.com. That's historicwealthevent.com. Learn the simple three steps you need to take now. See how to get your free shockproof wealth kit and learn more at historicwealthevent.com. We'll be right back with Howie Carr.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
But the fact is that if we are able to do the things I'm talking about here, it'll bring down the cost for average families. Bring down the cost for average families. I don't know why they keep moving all that, but the fact is they keep down the cost for average families.
Will it bring down the cost of hamburger meat or chicken or gas? Because all of that seems to be sky high right now. Joining me now for the Carr crossover, which is brought to you by Fairway Financial, preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Howie Carr joins the show. Howie, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
Howie, a lot of news today. What are you planning on leading with on your show?
I think I'm going to go with some more COVID mandate stuff. And I've got a list of the top 10 most ridiculous things that Democrat politicians have said to justify their flaunting or flouting. I never get it wrong
every time as well.
You know, basically giving the middle finger to the rules that they expect you and me and everybody else to obey.
Well, Eric Garcetti has to be on there, right?
Yeah, he didn't even make the top five.
Really?
You know, there's some good ones here.
Tony, London Breed.
Oh, absolutely, she's there. Yep.
Nancy Pelosi. It was a setup.
Yep. It's a California centric list.
It really is. when you think about it, though, Howie, California. I've thought about doing this before. Like California, when it comes to politicians. There's something about the politicians. I mean, like, you have Swalwell. You have people you don't even think of. Swalwell, Ted Lieu, Nancy Pelosi, Gavin
Schiff.
Newsom, Adam Schiff. I mean,
Zoe Lofgren was another. She's horrible.
Howie, if you
really,
had to choose.
Leaving, thank goodness.
If you had to choose worst politicians, California, New York, or Massachusetts, which do you choose?
Well, I mean, there's so many more in California.
That's true. They've got the size.
They have like 50 congressmen to our 10 or New York's 20. So they got to win.
Yeah.
Right?
It's quantity over quality, I guess. Howie, I also wanted to ask you, did you see about Jill Biden's big dream that's no longer going to become a reality?
Which dream is this? To destroy the country
overnight? Drugs.
Oh,
kind of. Her vision of free community college is dead.
Oh, I did see that, yes.
Si se pueda.
Yeah, that's really a tragedy because, you know, people learn so much at community college.
Si se puede!
Padway.
Yeah, it's crazy. And also...
Boy, I wish I had a doctor and I could be as well educated as Dr. Jill.
Dr. Jill, you can't beat it. Howie, also, the Freedom Convoy continues and a lot of Canada's police are telling the protesters they must go or face arrest.
I think that the protesters are winning. I've already got a good poll question, but that would be a good poll question. Is the Freedom Convoy winning or is Justin Trudeau winning? I think the Freedom Convoy.
I heard a commentator today say all they're doing is shutting down the economy. Yeah, that's kind of what they're trying to do to prove a point. 844-500-4242. Howie Carr is coming up next. Don't go anywhere.